Support for WPR comes from Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. With summer camps for pre-K through high school, offering skills in sports, music, and more. luther.edu/summer-camps. Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy. Committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
Nice to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. We're going to start our program today to talk by talking about investing and investing with a purpose. Our guest today, back again, Shannon Wegner, certified financial planner with Wegner Asset Management in Madison. Really happy to have him with us. And go online if you want to take a look at their website. It's Wegner Asset MGMT.
Or you can just do management. Either one will work.
Either one works. Yep. WegnerAssetManagement.com. And take a look at some of their services that that Shannon and his crew have to offer. Shannon, welcome back. Nice to have you.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be back here.
We've, I guess many people have the idea that they're kind of afraid in a way of retirement and planning for retirement. I know there's a lot of great experts out there. You're one of them. Give great advice, and we don't always follow it.
That's true. It's hard because decades ago, you had pensions. You had it kind of all that stuff taken care of for you. You got your monthly check. Now you're really in charge of your own retirement. You're in charge of figuring out how much you need to save, how much you can take out, how to invest it. It's not done for you anymore.
No, and so, and as we look at some of the surveys and so forth that are done, I think one that Jim Packard pointed out to me, about 70% are very or somewhat confident that they have enough to retire comfortably, but about half of those saving for retirement have under $25,000 salted away.
It's true. I've read similar things as well, and I think part of it is just almost putting your head in the sand and not wanting to deal with it because it's not always a fun thing to deal with. It might mean you might have to cut some of your spending or save a little bit more or maybe work a little bit longer. And so it's not always the most fun of topics to have to talk about or deal with, but unfortunately it has to be done.
Yeah, it sure does. If you'd like to join in, by the way, with your questions for Shannon Wegner, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. What do you, let's talk about some of the basics here. What are you recommending for people in terms of getting started on an investing program?
First thing is just start. It's a lot of people will talk about they need to do it, they need to start this, and it never happens. The best thing to do is if you can possibly just have anything deducted, whether it's right from your paycheck or if your paycheck goes in your checking account, have it automatically pulled from your checking account into a Roth IRA, or if you have a 401k at work, have that started and get going on it. Up it up with the percentages to a point where maybe it almost hurts a little bit, but you need to do it and you need to just get it started. People don't save enough, and when they do save, they don't invest enough. Sometimes they'll just throw it into a CD or a money market. Well, you're just treading water with that. If you're looking for long-term retirement, you actually do have to get it invested, and it's going to be risky. It's going to go up and down, but just get started and do it.
What kinds of investments do you recommend for then within a 401k or just in general? What do you recommend in terms of getting started?
If you're trying to do it yourself and you're just getting started, keep it simple. Don't worry about all the money magazine articles that tell you how to beat the market and the top 10 stocks you should own this year. Don't worry about it. Just get it invested. The easiest thing is some sort of an index fund that encompasses the entire U.S. stock market, and then there's usually some sort of an international holding that you can get in there, which should be a little bit of a smaller percentage than the U.S., and depending on your age, maybe some sort of a fixed income bond type of index fund as well. It doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to go for all the different sectors and the crazy stuff. Don't try to swing for the fences with it.
And how do people like you help out?
What I try to do is do some of that as well, but maybe add more diversification with other different asset classes that maybe people aren't comfortable with or don't know enough about. whether it's emerging markets or different types of fixed income securities to help diversify the bond holdings, that part of it, as well as providing that discipline or the kick in the pants sometimes to invest more, spend less, and take the focus from, oh, we're up X percent this year, or we beat the market by this percent, to the focus of what are we trying to do here? You want to do what? Retire at a certain age? You want to sell your home and live it up north somewhere? What is this all for? Because you can't really invest and figure out how aggressively to be invested or how much you need to save or how much you're going to spend until you know what you're trying to do, what the goal is. So it should be investing for a goal, not just to beat the market.
Yeah. And obviously for people who are just kind of getting started, newly married or whatever, I suppose it's a little harder for them to sort of zero in on that kind of goal.
And you don't have to. That's where you just try to get your spending under control, get some debts paid off, student loans if you have that, get your mortgage taken care of as far as having a decent rate, and then just start to figure out, okay, let's start putting away this amount away a month. And the younger you are, you're going to need some sort of an emergency fund for maybe a new child, maybe the car breaks down, maybe the roof leaks, and have some money set away for that as well so that you're not living paycheck by paycheck, that something happens, you've got a little bit of an emergency fund, a couple months, some say 6 months, 3 months, whatever, something put away just in a money market, earning a decent rate, but that you can touch, and then have that other sector of just for the long-term retirement that you hope you won't touch for a long time.
Yeah, and obviously, as we've talked about on the show, starting early pays such big dividends on the other end.
Absolutely. The earlier you start, the less you actually have to save along the way, and the longer you wait, the more it's gonna hurt down the road.
Yeah. Well, for those of us who have waited longer than we should have, what's the advice along those lines?
One of the things I see most of all is really just getting a handle of what you're spending, what you take home on an after-tax basis, after your health insurance deductions and maybe the 401k if you are participating, what you're taking home and where is that money going? You don't have to break it down to we spend this much on the cable bill and this much on ice cream every weekend. It doesn't have to be that specific. Just break it down as, okay, these are kind of the bills we have to pay every month. These are the fixed costs like the mortgage and property taxes. And then the rest of it, we're spending. And I like doing it that way better than trying to add up all your different bills because people forget about the $100 here, the $100 here they spent. If you're bringing it home and you're not saving it anywhere else, you're spending it. And so start from that way and then figure out maybe where you can save a little bit from that and start cutting and taking $100 here, whatever it is, just anything to start investing it. And again, if you pull it directly from the checking account as if it's a bill every month, that sometimes helps.
You know, it's been interesting for us. We've adopted a policy at home. We charge almost everything, and then we always pay it off every month. So we never pay any interest on that money, and we do that because we get air miles. But the company that we have, at the end of the year, they send us a book. A booklet that says here's exactly how you charged everything, and they put it out in percentages. This was for entertainment, and you can look down and see every charge you made. It is amazing.
Yep, and that's a great idea. If you're disciplined and will pay off your credit card bill every month, I highly recommend that. One, it just keeps your life simple. You can see where everything's going, how it's charged, and as long as I even recommend setting it so that it pays off automatically, so it's one less bill that you have to write. It just comes right out of your checking account. Some people don't like it because they can't keep track of each individual item they charge. Well, you can. Keep a checkbook and just write everything down if that makes you feel better. But no, that's a great, great way to do things.
Let's go take some calls. Again, if you'd like to join us, the number to call 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give a call. Joe in Madison, your turn. Hi, Joe. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. I'm married, 37 years old, and we have a home mortgage. Both my wife and myself both have 401ks and Roth IRAs. What else should we be doing above and beyond this to continue to develop our plan for retirement? And I'll just take my answer off the air.
All right.
Sure. One of the things, like I mentioned, is it's great to be putting that money in there. Also make sure you do have some sort of an emergency fund with maybe 3 to 6 months of expenses in case one of you lose your job or some sort of, like I said, house repair, anything big. I always
Car breaks down.
Exactly. Be your own bank so that you don't need to go out and charge that or borrow the money, that you've got enough that it just makes you sleep better at night. Then after that, if you've taken advantage of the 401k and you are maxing that out and you have extra investment money, like you said, you're doing the Roth. After that, if you have kids, you could start saving for college expenses. If you don't have kids, there's nothing wrong with saving in a taxable account. You can do that with index funds or even exchange-traded funds that are even more tax efficient. And it's not a terrible thing to save in a taxable account. Plus, you can always tap that money if you have to, but you can still earmark it towards retirement.
And in Joe's case, even though he's got some pretty good plans there, it might not hurt to talk to somebody, a financial planner of some.
Sure. Again, it's sometimes it's just getting that budget of, okay, how much can we save and are we putting it in the right spots? And so far it sounds like you are.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it very much. And what would you tell, what would you ask Joe for before he and his wife came in to see you?
I'd want to know just that. What are you bringing home, each of you bringing home, and where is that money going? Mm-hmm. And how much is going towards investing? How much is going towards your household expenses? And obviously then get into, do you have kids? Have you started mm-hmm. to do any of that as well?
And you're a fee only.
Right. There's a lot of different people that call themselves financial advisors. There's two different areas of it, so to speak. There's the brokerage area, which has the law of agency, which means that's a selling environment where they have to sell you something that's suitable for your situation. Then there's the fiduciary area that I'm in, which means I actually have to put your best interest first, not just something that's suitable, but that's your best interest. Then there's the fee only, which is more down the fiduciary line, which is different than the law of agency, which is selling where there's commissions involved. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with either one. You just want to know what you're dealing with yeah. when you're working with somebody. Are they a fiduciary that will always put your best interest first? Or are they in the law of agency where it's something suitable? Great advisors there, but just know that that's a different environment that you're working with.
Kay in Whitehall, your turn now. Hi, Kay.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have a somewhat simple-sounding question, but I think it's a little more difficult to answer. If a person such as myself who's in my mid to upper 30s and I'm married, what kind of a goal amount should possibly we be looking at for a retirement age in our 401ks or IRAs?
So what percentage of your current income?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
If you're taking like the average household of a couple in the retirement age, what is a good amount that they should probably be going toward?
It's hard to put a specific dollar amount on it because your lifestyle could be drastically different than
your neighbor's
lifestyle, for that
right.
matter, exactly. One of the things to think about is some people have said that you need 80% of your income when you retire. It depends how you look at that. If your mortgage is paid off, well, that's always a big chunk. That's one of the reasons why they come up with the 80%. If you can look at what your take-home income, and if that's a comfortable lifestyle for both of you, what you're both bringing home, then minus out what you're paying on your mortgage. You can't minus out the property taxes because those, unfortunately, never go away. But
right.
if the mortgage, say, is going to be paid off in 30 years when you're 65, and again, a lot of this depends when you think you want to retire, but let's just use 65.
Right.
Subtract out the mortgage. Subtract out what you're actually saving in retirement, because at age 65, you're no longer going to be contributing to your retirement plan anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can start to get a little bit of an idea of, okay, this is what we actually live on, and this is what we would live on if the house was paid off and we weren't saving for retirement. Now, if kids are involved, that can skew it a little bit as well. But just to keep it simple here, that's one way to start. But then, unfortunately, to be able to have a nest egg where you could pull that type of income from, right now the consensus is kind of to have a 30-year survival of a nest egg. So if you retire at 65, live to 95, you can only pull out between 4 to maybe 5% a year and adjust that for inflation every year.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't adjusting for inflation, you could pull out more. Now, people will say, well, how can it only be that little if the market's earning 8%? Problem is, you don't earn 8% every single year. It's not like a CD. Markets fluctuate. Let's say that first year the market's down 15%. We're going right into a bear market, unfortunately, right when you retire. Plus, you pull out your 4 or 5%. You've just lost 20% on that account, and now it's hard for it to keep building up. So to make a long story short, you'd look at having a nest egg that, let's say it was $1 million. In today's dollars, if that was $1 million, you could pull out between $40,000 and $50,000 a year and adjust that for inflation every year, as long as you stay invested maybe 60% in equities. You can't go all to CDs or money market when you retire either. The other part of the equation, and this is why it does get complicated sometimes with a so-called easy question like that, is that, oh yeah, we can't forget about inflation. 30 years from now, the $1 million today is not going to be $1 million in 30 years. It's going to be worth half that. So now if we figured out you need $1 million today, you might actually need $2 million 30 years from now, just using that example there. But that's kind of the way you'd want to approach it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. And then, of course, you've got your other, well, you wonder, Social Security, we assume, in 30 years is still going to be paying out.
Exactly.
So there's additional, so there's those kinds of things to think about, too.
It's never as easy as you'd hope.
We'll get to Steve in Green Bay in just a minute. Our guest today, Shannon Wegner, certified financial planner with Wegner Asset Management in Madison. Talking about investing with him today, I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, if you want to join in, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or in Madison at 263-1890. On this, the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking investment planning today with Shannon Wegner, certified financial planner with Wegner Asset Management. Glad to have him with us. And Steve in Green Bay has been waiting, so we'll go to Steve right now. Steve, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. I've got my question. It's probably simple, too. My wife and I both have traditional pension plans with our present employers, and we also have 401ks, and she has a financial planner with some stocks over in that direction. And in meeting with him, when we get ready to retire, he would prefer us to roll our pensions into his system. He would say we get a better payback. But my thought has always been it's better to split it up, and you got this pension, it's guaranteed money, regardless, and then you've got your stocks and other issues, 401ks, which is separate, which can fluctuate with the market. I was just wondering which is the best way to go.
Well, you're both right. There really is no right answer to that without, you know, 2020 hindsight. One of the benefits, like you said, with the pension plan is you've got that guaranteed amount that would come in every month. It's almost like a fixed income bond portfolio in that you know it's going to be there. Downside of that is that, let's say you do convert it to that monthly income in retirement, with most pension plans, when you both pass away, there's nothing there anymore. Your kids don't inherit anything from that pension plan. If you convert it over or roll it over to an IRA or whatever options they allow you to do, and then manage it yourself, now you're back to what I was talking with Kay on the last call, is that you maybe can only take out a little bit, like 4 or 5% a year, where the pension would probably give you a higher monthly amount, but it's your money, and if you pass away after only collecting for 5 years, there's an asset there for your kids to inherit. So there really is no right or wrong. I think you're looking at it correctly in that, okay, we've got two distinct nest eggs here. One's the pension, one's the 401ks that we've saved up, and there's nothing wrong with being diversified, like you say, and getting monthly income from one and investing the other. But there is no right answer. You just have to talk about the pros and cons.
To some extent, I think it's a, you know, it's a question of how much risk a person wants, how much you feel comfortable about in terms of risk.
Absolutely, and that's definitely part of it as well.
Yeah, I'm sort of on Steve's side.
Yeah, it's and that's not wrong. There's nothing wrong with that.
Steve, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Jose in Green Bay, your turn. Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What can we do for you?
Well, I just had a quick question about 401k.
Yes.
I currently am enrolled with my company. I have my 401k ahead of for about 2 years. And my question is more in regards to taxes. I currently got a promotion, so I got a, pay increase. And I just wanted to know if it's better to increase my the percentage that that I contribute on a, you know, like a biweekly basis to avoid paying the taxes at the end of the year.
Well, I think that's one of the best ideas that you can do when you get a pay raise is instead of immediately increasing your lifestyle and spending that money right away, is if you can inch up that percentage that you contribute to your 401k and you're still living comfortably and you're, you know, there's food on the table, everybody's doing fine, that's a great way to do it. Because otherwise what happens is you keep getting these pay raises as the years go by, you keep increasing your lifestyle, well, now you've saved less and you've just made it that much harder to retire because you're used to this higher lifestyle. And if you can just take those pay raises or split it down the middle, if that makes it feel better too, you know, take half the raise and put that towards the 401k and half towards a nicer lifestyle. But that's a great way to look at it. If you can do that, then it's going to make it that much easier to retire with more money down the road.
All right.
Okay. So it does make better sense to do it that way instead of...
yeah, instead of spending
instead
it
all. Of spending it all.
Yep.
Alrighty.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. We had a similar situation in our household where my wife got a little raise, and so we decided to just put that into retirement, and we're doing fine without it. So.
Right, right.
Chuck in Tomahawk. Hi, Chuck.
Good morning. I have a question in regards to taxes and the amount of money I can put into my Roth IRA. I'm planning on retiring this November, and I'm wondering if I can could continue to contribute to the IRA or Roth until April 15th and use it against 07 instead of 08.
If I think I understand you right, if you want to make a contribution for this year, for 2007, as long as you have earned income in 2007, even if you're retiring, even if you retired halfway during the year, as long as you had four, or in your case, if you're over the age of 50, $5,000 of earned income, then you can contribute $5,000 to your Roth, as well as with the caveat that there are income restrictions. If you earn over a certain amount, you can't contribute to a Roth no matter what your age. But you can still do it if you have earned income this year. If you're retired next year and have no earned income from a job, it doesn't mean earned income from investments. It means from a job. If you don't have earned income then you would not be able to contribute for 2008. Is that what you were trying to get at?
Yes, that's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah.
Because I may, you know, decide to work in 2008, but I may not, you know.
Yeah. Right.
There's a lot of people when they retire... they find themselves, you know, that they are tired of retiring.
Right, absolutely.
Right. And if you did start back up again, that couldn't he put that into a Roth then?
Absolutely,
Whatever he made in 08.
Right, right.
So there you have it, Chuck.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Joe in Oconomowoc, I believe, is next. Let's go to Joe. Hi, Joe. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a question looking for some advice on a situation that I'm sure many people find themselves in. My wife and I are in our mid-30s. We bought our dream home about 4 years ago, and at the time we had two incomes and one small child. Now we've got one income and three small children.
Oh.
Now, well, we've lived humble lives. We have no debt except for our mortgage. And unfortunately, that mortgage now is eating up about 60-65% of my take-home pay. I am contributing and have been contributing 10% into my company's 401k. We're throwing around the ideas of do we stop the 10% in the 401k just to get through these next 10 years with small kids and wrestle to keep the house and with our fingers crossed, or would we sell the house and downsize to something more affordable and then go back to the dream home? Just what kind of advice would you have in this situation?
And just for my own information, are you on a 10-year, 15-year, or a 30-year mortgage?
Right now we're on a 30-year with a really good rate, 5.3%, which I hate to get rid of. But
yeah.
Yeah, that is a tough spot, Joe. you know, I hate to say that, oh, you should sell your house, but when you're having 60 to 65% of your take-home pay going just towards that, the last thing I'd want you to do is stop putting money away for retirement, because, sure, you could start up 10 years from now, but as we were talking about earlier in the show, now you're way behind the eight ball, and you don't have the markets and compound interest working for you over the years. It gets that much tougher. So you would go from one challenge of having all this money going towards the house to the next challenge of, well, then all that money that you had going towards the house is going to have to go towards retirement, because you're going to have to play catch up at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention possibly trying to help your kids with school at all. Although, like I always say with that, that always has to come second after the retirement planning, because the kids can get loans for school, but you can't get a loan for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a tough spot. I mean, if you may want to consider it, I hate to tell you that.
You need to probably take a look at the housing market in your area. What are houses going for? Would you be able to make a profit on it, or at least get your money back out of it?
I think so.
I mean, maybe you'd get a nice profit out of it, and you, like you said, maybe 5-10 years from now, you'd do the next dream home.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've lived there for over 2 years, you would not have to pay any capital gains tax or any taxes at all on the profit you make from the home, which is kind of a nice bonus as well.
We have, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, if we stop in the 401k, it really does kill you down the road.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
All right. Thanks for calling, Joe. Good luck.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Appreciate the call. Dan in Reedsburg, it's your turn next. Hi, Dan.
Hi. I had a question about making a lump sum payment into a life insurance contract.
Mm-hmm.
My wife had received a gift through estate planning from her mother, and we want to preserve the money in case she needs it for nursing home care.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, looking ahead at college funding for my children, it's basically the only liquid assets we have, so it kind of penalizes us, if you will, when it comes to the formulas for college funding. And so I've thought about taking that money and putting it into a universal life insurance policy I've had for about 30 years. But that carries a 5% fee with it. It shelters it from the college calculations, but it still has it readily accessible to draw back out. And I just wonder what your thoughts were on that.
Unfortunately, I'd be the last one to recommend putting it into a universal life insurance policy. You do have access to it, but a lot of times you're charged interest for taking it out. So it's not free money. You're borrowing it from the insurance policy. Like you said, there's also high expenses with it. You're basically taking something that, like you said, is liquid and putting it in something that might be hyped as liquid, but it really isn't that liquid. And I know you're trying to protect it from the schools and the formulas for financial aid. I don't know how much it is or how much of an impact it would have, just based on your question, but
it would be a significant, because we almost come close to the zero contribution, and with it, we'd basically not be eligible for anything.
Okay.
And my understanding was, because this was one of the pre-84 policies when they changed the laws on funding them, that there wouldn't be any interest charges. So basically be taking out just the cash value of the policy.
Okay. I'm not as familiar with insurance because I don't sell insurance. It would be something that I would think you'd really want to cross the T's and dot the I's with to make sure, because sometimes I see it a lot where it's hyped one way or it's said one way, but that really doesn't mean what it's saying.
Okay.
Because a lot of times, and with most universal policies today, you're changing something that you have complete control over, all this liquidity with this, because it's been inherited, the cost basis has stepped up, and you'd be going to something that maybe wouldn't give you that kind of liquidity.
Okay.
So
just proceed with caution.
Right, and I know what you're trying to do, but don't let that be your entire motivation, just trying to avoid the college costs by locking this up, which could hurt you down the road.
Okay. And just one other comment to the previous caller. I've had a friend in the exact same situation as him, and they did choose to sell their house and get their cash flow more in line, and they've never been happier doing it. So
Yeah,
we didn't even talk about happiness and stress and are you sleeping at night, and you're absolutely right. That's more important than anything.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it. Omad in Eau Claire, your turn now. Hi.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I just had a quick question. I'm a college student. I'm going to be graduating in December. But currently, I don't have any debt or anything like that, which is pretty nice. Pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering, how do I get my feet wet startup? I know, should I go in the stock market, mutual funds? I've heard a lot about IRAs. I guess just advice to get my feet wet. What do you got?
Sure. The best thing is, do you have any earned income at all from part-time job or anything like that?
Yeah, I actually just started a full-time position right now this summer. So I've been working full-time this summer. So I do have some money saved up.
Okay.
As of now.
And my guess is they probably don't offer a 401k yet. A lot of times you have to work somewhere for 6 months to a year. Mm-hmm. Easily the best thing to do is start up a Roth IRA. Benefit of a Roth IRA is you can put $4,000 a year into it, and it grows tax-free, and you'll never pay taxes on it again, unless Congress changes all the rules. But that could grow to whatever dollar amount come retirement, and you pull all that money out tax-free. The other huge benefit of a Roth IRA is, let's say you put your $4,000 in this year, and whatever, you get in a really bad financial situation, you can always take out your original $4,000 with no penalties and no taxes if you have to. Don't encourage it because it's for retirement, but you can. Can't take out the growth, but you can take out your original amount at any time. So it's kind of almost a no-brainer to put money into a Roth IRA if you've got earned income. It's still only $4,000, but hey, that's a great place to start. And as far as where to put it, stock market, at your age, definitely put it in to equities. Know it's going to go up and down, but don't watch it every day. But again, don't try to do the top 10 stocks of 2007. Pick a good index fund that anybody offers, from Vanguard to Fidelity, that kind of covers the whole realm of the stock market, and you'll be just fine.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. David in Ironwood, Michigan, you're next. Hi, David.
Yeah, I just heard that guy who's thinking about selling his house and whatever. Another thing you might want to think about is maybe renting a room if the house is set up so that you could do that. Might be a way of getting some extra money and what I call it.
Sure, anything's possible. Just obviously it would depend on his family situation and three kids and all of that, but sure, that's not a bad idea either.
Thanks for calling, David. Appreciate it. And you can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890, Talking Investing today with Shannon Wegner, Certified Financial Planner with Wegner Asset Management of Madison. Pleased to have him with us today. You can go to WegnerAssetManagement.com and take a look at their website, too, his website, too. Glenna in Pittsville, it's your turn. Hi, Glenna.
I have two questions. You mentioned you had a credit card that gets you air miles.
Yes.
And I've been looking into that, and it seems like a lot of them have it set up so that you have to spend your money on certain things instead of just plain getting a percentage back.
On my card, I can actually go with any airline, and I can choose to get cash back if I want it, but frankly, the cash back isn't as good as the airline. For example,
That's what I'd like is airline, and could you tell me the name of the credit card, or don't you want to do that?
Well, I guess I could. It's a Capital One.
Oh, you are. Are you satisfied with that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, the other question I wanted to ask was, I have a Vanguard Windsor 2 stock, and it's made quite a bit of money, and somebody said I should draw out some of the profits. Do you think I should?
What would be your reason for drawing out the profits?
I don't need the money or anything. Somebody just said, well, maybe you should take some of that money out.
Are you going to need some of that money in the near future?
No, I'm not going to need the money or anything like that.
Then,
that's the thing I said. If I draw it out, I'll have to pay taxes on it, won't I?
If it's in a taxable account, is that what it's in?
Yes, I'm pretty sure it is.
Right. That sounds like that's some form of market timing that they're trying to get you to do, which, you know.
Well, with somebody in my own family, I think it was my son.
Well, that's all they're trying to do is they're probably saying the market's been really well, it's done great, and maybe you should take some of your profits off. But you know what? It could keep on going right up. So if you don't need the money and this is a long-term investment, you don't want to start playing that game.
Yeah. No. Okay, well, thank you for your advice.
Leave it there, Glenna. All right, thanks a lot.
Like they say, it's not timing the market, it's time in the market.
Time in the market. Well, I tell you what, the Dow Jones is on the upswing.
It is.
We've got some foreign market weakness, though.
Well, actually, the foreign markets for the year have still done better than the industrials, the Dow Industrials and the S&P. But everything is expensive right now. Everything's way up there. And nobody knows. Nobody knows. You can watch CNBC and you see two of the smartest people that you think are out there. And one says one thing and one says the complete opposite. You can't predict it. There's too many variables. So just stick with your plan. Stick with your goals, what you're trying to do. And try not to worry about all that too much.
And, I gave your website address earlier, and then I thought, you know what? I wonder if everybody knows how to spell Wegner. So it's Wegner, correct?
Right.
WegnerAssetManagement.com?
Yep.
Place to go?
Yep. And if anybody does have questions that couldn't get through or didn't have time to get in, there's a contact form on there. I'd be happy to answer any questions after the show.
Shannon, appreciate it very much. Thank you so much for being with us. Shannon Wegner, Certified Financial Planner with Wegner Asset Management of Madison. And he's been with us quite a few times. We've always enjoyed his visits. He works on a fee-only basis for individuals and families. And again, his web address is WegnerAsset.com. WegnerAssetManagement.com. All right, we'll get that in there. Coming up, we're going to be talking about shaping the energy future of our country with a couple of guests. I'm Larry Mueller. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.